right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by our friends over at X2 Power Batteries. We are back with the captain, Mr. Andy Full. As always, folks, I'm your host, Bailey Eichbrett. Andy, it is officially fall here in New York, and I love it.
Yeah, it was pretty chilly this morning when I walked outside. I'm glad I had the boat cover on. We're in the midst of a never-ending lake effect rainstorm that seems to continue to dump rain on my house for like the last, since basically Saturday. There's been, I think, like 400 water spouts on Lake Erie since Saturday. It's been chilly. Like, I think it was
four water spouts.
There's been over 400 water spouts on Lake Erie since Saturday.
Like, just, you can just call it what it is. It's a freaking lake tornado.
It is a lake tornado. Yeah. So I was actually driving home from the lake. I was not on Erie today, but I was driving home from the lake and I got a special marine warning. And it's like multiple water spouts on the lakes for the next 2 hours. I'm like, thank goodness. So I had to pick up my daughters from daycare and pre-K. And I'm sitting there in the parking lot and I look behind me and sure enough, there's a water spout about 15 miles down the lake. And I'm like, thank God I'm not out there, even though there's like 6 to 10 foot waves. So I would never be able to get out there right now. But yeah, crazy. Oof.
It's been pretty wild wind. It's kind of that time where it's like our first cold fronts are hitting here.
Gale season.
Northeast. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's time to go chase largemouth in the smallest lakes we have in our state because the Great Lakes are pretty untouchable at the moment. But
yeah, I think
it's
that's
okay because it means the fish are chewing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I love it. It was a crazy weekend. I was a little bit under the weather with changing conditions. I felt it Friday night as I was going into tournament day on Saturday. I started getting sick.
Are you feeling better?
You know what? You know, full speed ahead. You know, screw it. We're going to go fish in the wind and rain, low 40s on Saturday. And we were knocked out all of Sunday and decent part of yesterday. So I might sound a little bit if I start coughing. I promise to try to mute myself best I can.
But yeah, I remember texting you yesterday and I was like, he might be dead. It's been 3.5 hours and usually he responds right away.
Yeah, I'll answer you in 20 minutes.
And I think your only response was, I can't get the Phillies game. I can't get the Philadelphia Eagles game because it's not on Fox. So I was like, yeah. Oh, great. Glad to see you're feeling better. And you're pretty much your response was like, no.
Yeah. Our local bars will love me here in Buffalo because like three quarters of the Eagles season is not on any of our streaming channels or local channels.
Perfect.
It's one of those. Yeah. But nonetheless, a good weekend. We'll talk a little bit more about that. After we have our guest on, Easton Fothergill, joining us. But before we get Easton on, we have our special guest, no stranger to the show, with some cool things to announce for you folks. So we'll bring him on right here. And that is Mr. Sean Budiak from X2 Power.
What's up, hey guys, Sean? How you doing?
Good, man. Good. It's been a minute since we had you on here, but we got some exciting news.
We do.
Before that, Have you gotten out fishing at all? Yeah. I know you've been
It's been terrible. Literally tonight I had to rush home for my daughter's soccer scrimmage game that ended too late. It's like feels like every single weekend is either football or soccer now, and
I'll be there soon.
Well, you guys will be there. Yeah, you'll be there. Andy, you'll be there soon. Bailey, you're gonna be there at some point.
Maybe. Smallmouth keep me distracted, man. I don't know.
It's awesome. I love it. But yeah, it's like it's tough to get out.
I will say that I was driving home from I was driving home from dinner. Caught up with one of my buddies, Liam Blake, Friday night, and I was driving home. I was driving to the hotel, and I passed by a high school, and it was one of those Friday night high school football games. Rain pouring down. Yeah. It was cold. And I'm like, dang. You know, I feel like back then in the day when I was in high school, I thought, you know, the world was so hard. And I'm like, what I wouldn't give to be that kid frozen in the stands at a high school football game again. You know what I'm saying?
I was the dad Friday night not going to the game and picking up my daughter 3 minutes before the game ended because I was not going to sit out the cold rain. Nope.
Let them suffer. You
exactly.
Smart man.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, man, let's get into it. The new announcement. We'll let you do the honors here. What is new coming?
Sure. X2 Power. We got a lot of cool stuff coming. Obviously, it's the end of the season now. we're busy prepping for, you know, well, getting the end of season for most, you know, getting prepping up for next year. We're gonna have some pretty cool things coming, some new partnerships that we're excited to be working on right now. And I'm sure we'll drop on and talk about some of those and those come to finalization. But our big news is we've taken a big step forward. We've kind of been, and as we've talked on the show, we've launched X2 Power now. We're 3 years into just a lot of the efforts to build this brand and spread the word. And we've kind of been building it purely based upon getting people into retail stores that know what they're talking about the product and can help, you know, an angler set up their boat, set up their kayak. And we focus our efforts there, and we actually just made the shift. I shouldn't say made the shift. We've added on a tool now, right? So you and I, the three of us, have had plenty of conversations when I'm on the boat on Erie or just back and forth over text about buddies in Buffalo that would love to buy X2 Power, for instance, and there's not a batteries plus to be seen within 3 hours. So we're literally this week, we finally did it. We finally launched an updated version of our x2powerbattery.com website. We are finally jumping into a world where we can ship products to anyone everywhere. It's been great to be able to get people into stores and get people, you know, talking battery geek and battery conversations. You know, not everyone wants to be there. So we needed to make the big jump and provide a better solution for those that purely want to learn and want to get that product delivered right to their home. So we are officially live as of this week and rolling. And the whole website has been completely updated. We got a lot more cool things coming. But now we're actually talking, you know, specific applications. If you scroll on the application side, we're going to start, you know, presenting batteries for, you know, the kayak angler differently. Then we're going to, you know, get them to the ice fisherman, to the, you know, for those that have the van life thing going on and, you know, have the Sprinter vans that are equipped to be homes, you know, still having content and products there for that. So we're excited to be able to launch, to be able to ship to home, and really just be able to take the next step, honestly, in X2 and just make it available to anyone, anywhere in this country.
I feel like this just makes everything so easy.
Makes what?
Makes everything so easy. It's streamlined. Like, you know, when we talked about the calculator, this is one thing that it's like when you're going to look for whether you fish from the kayak boat, et cetera, it's a way easier process of figuring out what you need.
Yep. Now we're all aiming to, you know, it's a step that we've taken. It's obviously a step that a lot of our competitors have actually started here versus store. But I think if you think about what we're going to be able to have now, you know, there's a hint of some marketing campaign on the site on that homepage. We're working up a new way of kind of celebrating what we do, but it's the stores, the ultimate choice of the store and online, you know, demand getting this product, you know, however you want to. And this is the step we needed to take. So we're excited for it. We're already taking some steps. We've got some great people working with X2 now that are there in that little chat button in the corner that'll allow people to, you know, have conversations about what they want, what they need, what their problems are. And honestly, really just level up our expectations of ourselves, of, you know, you guys, of your customers and your viewers of your show, you know, what it's like to work with us. And hopefully we're delivering every time.
Heck yeah. And I see you're wearing some sneak peeks of what's coming too.
I am. Yeah. We have some pretty cool new swag coming. You know, we started those first 2 years, you know, your hat, Bailey, and Andrew's shirt, it screams our X2 brand. You know, now it's time to just continue to transition into stuff that's just cool to wear every single day. And when they came up with the very simple, you know, X2 Power on the side vertical, it's just something different, unique. And you're like, all right, that's a brand that I would want to wear Saturday to my daughter's soccer game.
It's like a cross between like outdoors and motocross is what I see that hoodie as. It's nice.
Wait till you see the t-shirt with the bass boat behind it. It's pretty sweet.
It's fantastic.
You guys will obviously be getting the merch, and we'll get some of the guys that are listening to the show, some of the merch as well.
Yeah, I mean, I remember you saying it with when Justin Martin mentioned it too, and I'm sure Easton listening to, like, from a college standpoint, like when you guys make hats or apparel that just fits and is comfortable, it just makes it that much easier to wear. It's like when you can have that stuff, people will rock it. It's just it's one of those things, especially if it looks good. It's always a plus.
When my wife's wearing XU Power hooded sweatshirts to the grocery store, I know I did my job.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got I'd encourage everyone that's on this, listening either on the podcast or listening live. Jump on the site, take a look, take a browse. There's a nice page for both Andrew and Bailey as key members of what we're doing, as well as with Deacon. Honestly, we're just continuing to celebrate all the partners we work with, try to present what you guys do day in and day out even better. Hopefully be good partners both ways. If anyone's out there and wanting to buy, even though it is winter in Buffalo and for you guys, but for those who aren't about to put boats away, if you're out there looking to buy, I encourage you to just reach out to us, reach out to you guys. 100%. And honestly, as we're launching this thing, one of your serious angler people wants to buy batteries, buy the batteries, connect with you guys. They'll connect with me and we'll get you a whole ton of our new merch coming out soon too.
Awesome. Yeah.
I just want to throw a little side note real fast, Sean. I'm sorry, Bailey. Minnesota, they might be getting ready to put the boats away. We still have like a solid month and a half left. Okay. We're still rolling here.
Here in our water, when all you see is boats coming off the water and wraps getting put on stuff. So
yeah, our water temp this morning was 64.3. We have a long ways to go.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm sure there's some Minnesotans out there that are like driving by the lake every day, just waiting to see it start hardening up.
It's gotta be doing good. Josh Douglas and I were texting back and forth. He was trying to get me to find a day in the next couple weeks to get up there. So lakes can't be that close to it. I can't can't swing it, but can't be that bad.
Oh man. Nonetheless, it's exciting stuff. A step in the right direction, especially with the people that have been reaching out looking for batteries. We definitely applaud those that we've had, especially from our area, driving four plus hours to the next Batteries Plus store to go pick some up. And now it's going to be 100% way easier. We're looking forward to that for us and for you guys as well. So like Sean said, reach out to folks at X2, reach out to us if there's anything that we can do to help. But Sean, appreciate you joining us here.
Thanks for letting me drop it. Yeah. Real quick. Have a good rest of the show.
All right. Appreciate it, Sean. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Andy, exciting stuff. Obviously, we always like to have that process of making things easier for people, because you and I are like those that are in that same boat where it's like easy, less difficult is because we are stupid people. So we like to make things easy and flawless. You know
simple
what I mean?
People who live complicated, busy lives that just need it now.
Yeah.
I don't want to go searching 15 ways to try and get something done. So that's awesome that they finally have a website that we can just buy. And I think it's shipped to, right? Now, I missed and I forgot to ask this question, but are they shipping the AGMs as well or just lithiums?
I believe they're shipping everything straight to your door.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, just head to the site, add whatever you want, get rocking. That's the nice thing too, is we'll have that button there to kind of chat and help you with, what you might need for your boat. And, they have the calculator, and reach out to us too if you guys have any other questions. But Andy, without further ado, let's get on our guest today, because I'm excited to talk about college bass fishing and much more than that. But getting on our guest here for tonight, Mr. Easton Fothergill. What's going on, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. I would ask how you're doing, but you said offline you're at a derb right now, so it sounds like you're doing pretty good.
No, life's good right now. Doing lots of fishing, and I couldn't ask for anything better right now.
Yeah, I'm sure you're still riding the high after the bracket win, but where are you at now?
I'm actually at Dardanelle, Russellville, Arkansas.
I can't imagine that fish is too good in October. I could be wrong.
No, it's really not, but it's one of my favorite tournaments every year just because of how much of a grinder it is. So
you lean towards the harder it is, the better it is for you kind of deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love the grinder ones more than the Smash Fest,
Right. When did that we're gonna already getting on tangents. If you haven't learned the show, it's all built upon tangents here, but I feel like there comes a time in an angler's life, the people that do enjoy the grinders, where you kind of establish that love for a grinder, if that makes any sense. If you could pinpoint a way along the road for you that you've figured out that you like grinders, where would that be and why?
It's this tournament. Yeah, first time we were here, it's October every year we come here, and first time we were here, we weighed one fish over the 2 days and like 200th place or something, and we're just like, what are we doing wrong? Like, it was the most humbling experience ever. And then the next year we got like 15th or something. It was just like the most satisfying thing ever. And then we had another good year last year. So it's just, I have a lot of respect for the grinder tournaments from this lake. So it's just so much more satisfying to get a limit of 14 inches when you know you're doing something, rather than, you know, you got 20 pounds smallmouth and you know you need 25 to contend. It's just, I don't know what it is, but when you have that limit on a grinder place, it's so satisfying.
Yeah, like you actually figure something out. And I know people have talked about and said this numerous times, but like in those grinders, when you figure something out, it's way easier to stand out versus when everyone's catching 25 pounds, it's way harder to stand out.
Yeah, and it's also more of a mental game than the smash fest. You know, it's some people, I would say half the field are out of it even before they get to the ramp, you know, so it definitely takes a more, you know, strong mental game in these grinder ones, which I really like.
Yeah, I'm sure you and Nick are sitting there at the ramp ready to rock for the day and looking around and hearing people complaining about the lake that day. And you're like, yep, I'm going to beat you.
Exactly. Yeah.
You always do like the reverse psychology too, right? You know, it's a grinder event and you just start like mumbling and grumbling about how bad everything is. Then you start getting in everyone else's minds. But deep down inside, you're like, I figured something out. I'm going to go catch five and I don't care how it takes or how to get there. I mean, I love it. Like grinder events are, there's nothing better. I want the weather to be the worst it possibly can be, or like the absolute best when the fish bite the least. Like,
yeah,
because everyone's complaining, and I'm like, all right, I'm still gonna catch them. I don't care.
Yeah.
So
it's the people that are quiet at the ramp. Like, I feel like you and Nick are the quiet guys at the ramp. Oh, and those are always the people that I'm most afraid of.
The exact opposite. Why do you fish with me, Bailey? I talk to everyone. I'm laughing, having a time.
Because we need an ebb and flow, Andy. Everyone, Easton, when Andy and I show up to the ramp, I am quiet. I want to get my business done. Let's get on with the day. And everyone knows when Andy's there. Like, you will know if he's not there.
I'm living life, man. I don't care how bad the fishing is or how good it is. I'm living life.
The clip where it's the good morning Vietnam, that's Andy. Good morning. 100% Andy.
I wish I could say that about Nick, but we're both the quiet ones at the ramp every morning.
you seem like, so I've been able to spend some time with Nick through work, and obviously with him working at Wired to Fish, and he seems very mellow-headed, so I feel like you guys got a click, because I think you seem the same way after watching the live stuff with the bracket. You guys seem very same track-minded, if you will.
Yeah, definitely same exact personality. It's kind of freaky how similar we are. But
that's cool, man. We're going to get into some more of that here later in the show. But being that this is your first time on the show, we like to always throw it back to the very beginning of who got you started fishing in the first place, how you got started. And then, you know, with that, expand on too, and like how you got to where you are college fishing now.
Yeah, so my dad is super into tournament fishing, and that's who got me into it at a super early age. You know, probably 5 years old is when I started doing tournaments with him during the summer. And then, you know, did that till my freshman year of high school. My dad came home one day from work and was just like, what do you think about this high school thing? And then, you know, it just sparked an idea right there. And we started the local high school team at our school. And, you know, we had a really diehard group of guys, me, Nick, and then a whole bunch of other people in our grade who really got the team lifted off the ground that year, and we were pretty successful. And you know, went through the college career, and then the high school career, and then junior, senior year, I started thinking about college and just thought how cool it would be to fish as a college team, you know. And then that's when I started reaching out to schools. I talked to Adrian a little bit, Montevallo, obviously, Carson Newman, and then a couple other ones. But I knew in the end I wanted to be in the South to learn how to fish southern fisheries. I knew if I stayed up north, I would just wouldn't learn as nearly as much as I would if I put myself out there in the South, which has ended up why I choose Montevallo. And honestly, it's been one of the best decisions I've ever made coming to Montevallo. It's a playground, you know, Coosa River, and then you're not far from Martin or Smith Lake. You know, it's an awesome place to be. But then, yeah, college career, you know, it was a rough start at first, I won't lie. It was kind of a culture shock a little bit. Lots of different fisheries I'd never seen before. But me in my senior year now, I feel like I'm getting a lot more confident in, you know, my abilities, and I've learned just so much over the past 4 years, and Yeah, it's been a really good ride.
Bailey, you're muted, I'm pretty sure.
Gosh, here we go. Mic backing up here. I would say what I was saying before my mic rudely told me I wasn't allowed to speak. I'd say you're definitely getting confident, man. You're going to the freaking Classic next year.
Heck, yes. Congrats.
Has that set in yet? Like, are you still pinching yourself every time you wake up every day?
It still don't feel real. I don't think it will until I start practice. And, you know, I got all my icons practicing around me. I think that's when it'll be like, holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't even imagine that. Good grief, man. That's going to be cool, though. I think you being the mellow head, and obviously I'm sure the voices in your head could be a little bit louder than what you portray them to on the outside, but that might play an advantage for you. Not saying an advantage against other competitors, but an advantage amongst other college anglers that could have won and gone to the Classic, if that makes sense.
Yes. I would say that's definitely the part of the game I focus most on. You know, you got all the physical stuff, you know, like obviously like how to cast good and stuff like that, but it's definitely the mental side of the game that I really, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get better at every day. That's definitely because in tournament fishing, it's 95% of what makes a tournament angler is what's in between your ears and not, you know, everything else. So
100%. And with that, like when it comes to college fishing as a team in general, like when it comes to whether you guys are traveling or working as a group, how does that dynamic work? Like whether it's just you and Nick or whether the full team in general, like this is something I've always been curious about, being that the mental part is such a big thing. Do you guys have any sort of like mental training or discussions or anything like that you do as a team from a decision-making standpoint?
I guess not really, no trainings or anything. I would say the main reason why our team is so successful is because our coach has set up a depth chart based on, you know, a lot of averages on our finishes, and how high you are on that depth chart determines what tournaments you get sent to. So, you know, everyone's given 100% at every tournament to try to get up on that depth chart. And, you know, that's obviously going to drive up success. So
that's cool.
That's one of the best things I've seen with our team. And I think the main reason we have so much success.
Now, is there a team dynamic with that? Like, do you guys, like, is it competitive amongst each other? Do you guys, like, work with each other, like, that sort of thing?
I mean, we obviously work with each other a little bit. You know, we're still a team. But in the end, we're trying to beat each other to be on top of that depth chart because, you know, we all want to fish as much as possible. So, but, you know, at tournaments and stuff, we talk a little bit. We all have kind of our little core groups that we kind of work with and, you know, bounce ideas off of. But overall, I'd say we work very well as a team.
So you're like locking each other's in their dorm rooms before you guys leave for a tournament or something like that. There's got to be some jokes on the road, man.
We got a house now off campus, but there's definitely some of that our freshman year when we lived on campus.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. It's while I could totally understand the competitive aspect of it, it's definitely got to be a lot of fun. Like the dynamic between the team, like that's got to be cool. And I feel like if anything, it's like the information aside or things like that, it's got to be like an iron sharpens iron kind of dynamic.
Yeah. Another cool thing about our team is we have a big boat shed where everyone keeps all their boats and stuff. And you can go there, it seems like any time at night, and there'll be someone there and you can just walk up and start talking bass. And I can't even describe how much I've learned, you know, 10 o'clock at night, just sitting around the boats and, you know, you ever throw this here, you ever throw that there. And just so many great ideas have come from that boat shed.
You definitely lock your rod lockers, don't you? Every time I go
in there. There's a lot of kids that leave their rods out. Mine tend to be put away. So
yeah. Messing with all the drags. I'd be that jerk.
Oh, let's see. Especially if it's like my buddy's boat and we're going out for like practice, I would just loosen it all the way up.
Oh yeah. The X2 shoot we had after St. Lawrence, I was a menace. Like with Josh Douglas, I would loosen all of his reels before he went out so he wasn't looking. I'd be horrible in that dynamic, Easton. I would be doing that to everybody before they left.
Sabotaging fellow competitors.
Not before a tournament. But if it was practice, 100%, I would do it. But nonetheless, total sidebar.
But like a little 1v1, little buddy tournament. Have some fun. Just sabotage all their gear.
Oh, just straight magnets off on everything, just so they just blow up because they don't even realize it. Oh, you could do a lot with that. That could be fun. But no, so one thing I wanted to dig into, obviously you've been on some shows, you know, talking about, you know, your college bracket win. And of course, you know, watching that live was super cool. And I encourage people to go. Bass has like the full days and everything that you guys can replay on their YouTube channel. I think for us, something we were really curious about, you know, with those days, obviously it's a mentally enduring tournament for you guys. Obviously, being that the brackets is a new competition, 1v1, you know, head to head, all the way from start to finish. But when you look back on that, obviously there's a lot of positive being that you won. But were there any, when you reflect on it, and obviously you haven't had much time to reflect on it, were there any moments of impact for you that stick out in your head beyond just the win itself? But man, that decision I made, if I didn't think to do that, I wouldn't have won it. Or if I didn't make this adjustment, I wouldn't have won it. Is there anything that sticks out from that perspective?
So yeah, really early in practice. So we had one day of practice and then we had what was supposed to be a seed day, but it got canceled due to wind. So it was basically two practice days. And really early in practice, I found this like really good morning deal, which obviously you saw on live if you're watching on the first day. I kind of smashed him in the first hour, but I had figured that out pretty early, but all of practice I struggled hard in the afternoon. Like I'm talking like one bite from 10 o'clock to dark, like bad. And so I knew right away that if I could get this morning pattern dialed in even more, and then if I could find an afternoon bite, like I'm set. But after the 2 days of practice, I had still not found that afternoon bite, like terrible, but I had found a couple more morning places. So going in the first day of the tournament, you know, I had a really good morning, but I knew I wasn't safe. So then I had so many rods in my deck, just so many ideas going through my head. And that first day of the tournament, I never did find an afternoon deal. I think I upgraded maybe twice, one or two times, small upgrades on a spinner bait. But going into day two, I kind of rode that morning grind again. I had a decent bag early, and just then again, I was just bouncing more ideas across my head, just trying different stuff in that afternoon period, and still didn't get much going. And I'm just I was fortunate enough to make the final day, and that night I sat there for a long time, just what can I do differently to find this afternoon deal? And with that, I was kind of thinking that I burned my morning stuff down because I didn't get a bite on my, or maybe I got two bites on my, you know, my good starting spot. And I had another starting spot another morning spot that I had found. So I was able to barely get a limit on those two spots on the second day. So going into the third day, I kind of felt like I'd burned my stuff down. So I hopped on Google Earth that night before the final day of the tournament. And I found two areas that I thought set up the same as my morning pattern. And that ended up paying off big time hitting those stuff. I got two of my biggest bag fish in the morning. I first hit my two, you know, previous good spots. I didn't even get a bite. So then I, you know, the wheels are turning already. But then I went to that Google Earth stuff that I found and was able to kind of get things going on that new water that I'd found. And then that dreaded afternoon period came and it was tough once again, but I was able to hit that one late day fury, which was on my good starting spot. They had just shifted out deeper, and that's ended up with sealed the deal for me. So it was definitely a very mentally trying tournament for me, but I guess I was pretty proud of the adjustments I was able to make.
Yeah, especially being able to move deeper. Do you think that was just the ticket? Was they just slid deeper from that morning window that you, like when you mentioned it gets harder in the afternoon, you think they just went deep or went and suspended over something?
That's what was making sense in my head, but I was trying that every day. That's one of the main things I was trying. Like I put a heavy swing head on, a heavy football jig. I was just trying to drag a little bit deeper, but I wasn't getting bit. And the funny thing is on that starting spot, I fished it right away in the morning and then I left. And then I was going to try it once the sun came up a little bit. And there's catfish guys on shore, just trot lines, just boom, 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 boom across my whole point. And I was just like, that kind of threw me in for a loop, but I checked it probably three or four times and they were finally gone at about noon. And that's when I went in there and had that little flurry. So pretty cool.
Yeah,
that ended up working out.
I can't imagine the first thought though in your head when you just watch those catfish guys come in. You're like, damn.
I was just, oh boy, this is how this day is gonna go, kind of. But yeah, I knew I had to stay focused and just keep grinding. Always something. You know.
Yeah. Why me?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I was listening to. I was watching the. This is gonna come full circle. I promise. This is not a tangent. I was watching the 49ers Cowboys game, and they were talking about Christian McCaffrey. One of the coaches was saying that he hates being told good job. Like when he does something good on a play, he wants to know what he still could have done better on that play, even though it might have been good. And so with that, like my question to you is, obviously you got the win, so you wouldn't change a single thing because you came out on top. But when you look back on it, beyond obviously, you know, maybe trying to find an afternoon bite, was there anything you would have changed maybe about how you practiced or how you competed?
That's tough. I felt like I was trying like so many different things in the afternoon to try to just get something rolling, and I just was unsuccessful till that final day. So
I honestly, I mean, the answer could be simply no. You could be like, I wouldn't change anything.
Really, I wouldn't, to be honest.
Good. I mean, that's always a good feeling when you come out of it, you know, that you put all of it
into that. Yeah, it was just that was so frustrating to me because I knew there was an afternoon bite happening. Like, I was even watching kids catch fish in my areas in the afternoon, and I just could not get it going until that final day. It was really frustrating to me.
Hmm. Well, I think all of that paid off, obviously, because we'll be seeing you down in Tulsa next year. Which, have you had any experience on Grand Lake?
Never. From what I hear and from what all the reports that I've been looking at lately say, fish is just like Lake of the Ozarks, kind of, especially that pre-spawn period, which I love Lake of the Ozarks. So hopefully that's true. We'll see.
Yeah, I guess you'll find out. That's freaking awesome, man. I'm excited for you.
Good luck.
Yeah, and so, like, I mean, obviously a grueling tournament, but one thing that, you know, Bass has highlighted, I know some shows have highlighted with you, but you've gone through some adversity, man, like from a health standpoint, and can you talk about that quick? I'm like, what, you know, are you still dealing with something with that, or like, is that something you still have to, you know, work through for years to come, or?
So I'm sure a lot of people have heard about by now, but I had an infection in my brain. Actually, it started at, I was at the national championship for Bassmaster at Pickwick Lake when it all started. I was idling ledges all of practice. That was kind of what I was, you know, committing to. And I just went to bed one night of practice and just had this slight headache. And, you know, I get headaches all the time. I didn't think much of it, but woke up that next morning and it was some of the worst pain I've ever felt, like terrible, terrible pain. And actually passed out a couple times when I was idling ledges, just, you know, like I don't know how far I went really. And luckily one of the times I woke up, my teammate was in front of me, like, right in front of me. I just idled up to him, asked if he had any ibuprofen or anything. He gave me some ibuprofen, and you know, I got through the day. Everything got better with that. So from then on, I just took tons of ibuprofen and Excedrin migraine to get me through that week. And you know, I got home the week following, and it just was not getting better. So ended up going to the ER. They found a mass in my brain with a CT scan, and then immediately rushed me by ambulance to Birmingham, and then they threw me into surgery right away to aspirate the abscess. And then they cultured it to find out what exactly bacteria it was so they could know how to treat it. And you know, that from then on, I spent about a week in the hospital and then went home for 2 weeks in Minnesota to recuperate and get my energy back, and just in time was able to kind of pull through and, you know, make the bracket. And you know, I'm super grateful for that. It's just so happy that was able to happen. And then, you know, now I'm pretty much back to normal. I'm still on antibiotics, taking them 3 times a day, but I got my energy back and I'm feeling great now. So I'm super grateful for how that worked out.
Yeah. Glad you're good now, dude. All I gotta say is, holy shit, thick skin. Like, dude, you're passing out graphing and you're like, ah, let's keep going. We woke back up. We're going to keep grabbing. Like, dude, that takes balls, man.
It was really scary. It hurt so bad that I didn't want to like drive across the lake to go to the ramp. Like, cause it was windy out that day too. And I was just like, this is awful.
Let's keep idling. Like, dude, that's freaking, That's a mess. Not saying that it's a good situation, but.
Or a safe one, to be honest. Yeah. But, like, yeah. Glad you're all right.
Yeah. Tough. And that's what they say. You got to be tough to be in this sport, man. So, I mean, we're glad you're here. Obviously, that, you know, that adds to the story, man. You know, especially I'm sure that was something that you guys dwelled upon after your win. So, it's speaks volume about your character. I'll say that.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. And so moving forward, I mean, this might be a simple question, but what are your goals? Obviously, you're a senior. You're going to the Classic next year. You know, are you trying to go the pro route? Are you trying to go in the industry? Is there something, a different angle you're trying to go with? Like, what's your goal?
My goal is the Elite Series, but if not that, you know, somewhere in the industry for sure. Just something involving fishing is my career goals, I guess. But main goal is the Elite Series.
Nick hasn't sucked you into filming yet?
Not yet. He hasn't succeeded in that yet.
But. Not yet. Oh, man. So are you going to fish all nine next year?
I don't know yet. I've heard that I get both nine or all nine, and I've also heard I only get one division. So I guess it kind of depends on that. So you're hopefully I'll hear it within the next week or so.
Well, nonetheless, that'll be exciting. I mean, if that's the route you're going to take, you know, 100%. And so with that, I mean, whether it's all nine, like, do you have anything like in store, whether it's a, you know, YouTube, things like that, you know, after college that you're going to be kind of kickstarting or a business venture to embark upon with the all nine?
I'm definitely interested in starting a YouTube series, kind of just documenting what goes on behind the scenes. I know a lot of people are doing it, but I'm thinking for this upcoming Bassmaster series, do it at the college level, which I don't think anyone has really done yet. Just, you know, the behind the scenes of the team and stuff. I think that would be pretty cool. That's something I'm hoping me and Nick can kind of put together, but I think that would be a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I don't know. I know Tyler Anderson did a little bit in his day at A&M. I think, I don't know if you know the name, Bill Matthews.
I heard it.
He did a little bit. I can't remember what school he was at. But yeah, I don't think anyone's really done it or like done it well, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
That could be pretty cool too. And you got a guy with you that knows how to hold a camera, or at least how to put some cameras up and edit footage. So I say you got some skills behind that YouTube channel that you could definitely pick up.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there anything with University of Montevallo that you guys have, like, alumni wise, any resource, things like that, that you guys have, you know, trying to make it into a career, from whether it's industry or tournament fishing?
I would say, yeah, our coach has lots of connections in the industry. So he definitely does a good job of getting us connected with some of the right people. And yeah, I guess we're getting a lot of eyes on us now with the success our team has had overall. So it's definitely, I would say, a pretty good place to be for the goals. I would say probably a quarter of the team is really serious about trying to pursue an Elite Series career. And we have 60 kids, so that's a lot of kids that are pretty serious about it. So there's a lot of drive for sure on our team.
Yeah, man, it's got to be kind of cool. Like, say you guys have 150 boat field for a college event, you know, give or take, and you kind of look across who you're competing against and thinking maybe 10% of these guys are all fishing that top level in a couple of years. It's kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, it is. Just looking at the stats, you're right. There's the college series is kind of dominating the elite series in the last couple of years. So
yeah,
it's definitely really cool.
100%. And with that, there's one angle I wanted to talk to you about and pick your brain on. Andy, we were talking about it earlier today from when it comes to, we've talked about this a bunch with different guests, but we've actually never talked to it about it from college fishing standpoint. And that is information, not from like angler to angler, but from like online internet, that whole learning curve and how that's accelerated now with having internet and technology more accessible for you growing up and for your teammates, even currently still. You know, take aside, obviously, you know, Google Earth and things like that play a big factor, you know, having the simple like map on your phone to be able to do that versus the guys like us. I mean, I was hanging out with Gary Klein this past week and they're using paper maps back in the day trying to study their stuff. How big of a role did, you know, say YouTube or reading reports or magazines, things like that for you growing up? How big of a part, and even still, how big does that play for you from a learning standpoint, not where you're not even on the water?
I would say during my high school years, YouTube was a much bigger player, just learning Southern techniques, you know, for example, glide bait fishing. I don't do that hardly at all in Minnesota, and in Alabama, it's a pretty big deal at times. So that's kind of how I learned that. But I would say ever since getting to school, because we have kids from every corner of the country, because, you know, they all have, they'll have a different technique that they're confident in. So I would say now it's almost more face-to-face, just bouncing ideas off my teammates, because we have people from California, you know, Wisconsin, Massachusetts, just every corner of the country, and they all like to do different things. So that's, I would say, my main source of information lately, just learning new techniques and stuff like that now. But I still use YouTube, you know. For example, at the national championship at Pickwick, we had a ledge school that would only get fired up on a glide bait, like an 8-inch glide bait. It's the only thing that they would get fired up about. And I'm terrible at glide bait fishing, so I couldn't catch them. But ever since then, I've been watching all kinds of YouTube videos of, you know, like Milliken and people like that, just their cadences and stuff like that, just trying to learn what I'm missing out on. So I guess it's a combination, but definitely lots of information to be had online these days.
Yeah. And there's, you know, Andy, we've talked about this a lot, where there's so much information. And I think anglers like yourself are obviously very good at sniffing out the BS, because there is a lot of misinformation.
There's way more misinformation than relative information, in my opinion.
Which is why we get on people like you, Easton, because the misinformation is coming from like Andy and I. So we get you guys on to prove us wrong with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but still, I know a lot of people say it, but there's all this information you get, but the most valuable thing is still just you going out there and seeing it for yourself. I would say, yeah, it's by far more valuable than any video you ever watch. So
100%. Because no matter what you do as well, like, you can't replicate the action that somebody else does. No matter what you do, it, yours is always going to be slightly different. And what I tell my clients is, like, I'm going to tell you one thing, but you're probably going to catch them a different way than what I'm telling you. Just find your confidence and stick with it. And ultimately, it works out a lot better when they do that. So it's awesome.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah, especially when it comes to the glide bait deal. You brought that up. You know, I've been watching Milliken, you use him, for example, for a while, and I've tried implementing some of that stuff up in here in New York, and I figured out it can work. But, man, trying to copy somebody else does not work. But it's, you know, the greatest saying is, you know, it's just like stuff my grandfather would say, right? And it's like, you can't catch it from the couch. And it's the same thing when it comes to information like that. You can take it with a grain of salt, but don't take it to heart, because if you try to do that, you're going to go out and be more frustrated than you would if you went out and tried it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's the same thing as like getting info from somebody, right? And you go out and you end up more frustrated, probably doing worse than if you gone out and trying to find fish
yourself. Never listen to doc talk. Even your best friend will stray you awry.
Yeah, so, never listen to Andy.
Yeah. That's something I had to learn with my teammates too. Just some of the stuff you kind of got to block out that you hear, you know, ideas bounce around, and you just got to kind of learn what is valid and what's not. So it's another thing I've learned pretty early in my college career.
That's a good thing to learn, especially. It's just, and it's going to help you out in the long run, right? Of if you're doing that on your own and taking information with a grain of salt. Obviously, you know, if like you and Nick working together, that's one thing, right? Mm-hmm. But something like that, you know, using it to your advantage and using it your way versus someone else's, you know, way of looking at things, that's 100% impactful. And I think especially for the long run, that's, you look at the guys these days, 100% the anglers that are successful are the guys that go in with an open mind and do it their way.
Exactly.
100%. So moving forward, you know, obviously you got Classic coming up, but as a senior, what tournaments do you have left? Like, I know, I guess I was a little, we've been trying to get, I know he's going to come on the show here in a few weeks. Logan Parks is going to be coming on here to talk about his tournament. But it seems like he fished like college tournaments a whole year after he's out of college. So like, do you have a bunch of tournaments that you can fish still college?
Yeah, I can fish college tournaments all the way to the spring. So I'll actually have a whole nother season of Bassmaster College events to come. So, and Nick and I are both thinking about staying for a fifth year as well. So that would bring on a whole nother year of college fishing, but that's kind of up in the air with the opens. Obviously, if I'm able to fish all nine, I'll go do that rather than fifth year, but it's kind of up in the air at this point. But the way college fishing works is, yeah, you get the summer following when you graduate. So,
academically, from that standpoint, if you stayed a fifth year, are you trying to get a master's degree? Like, what are you trying to strive to get with that?
Yeah, I'm kind of ahead of schedule in school right now, so I've thrown some minors on with my major. I'm majoring in marketing, so I've thrown on like sports business and social media minors. But yeah, I'd probably get a master's in either. I'm thinking about a master's in finance. It'd be kind of cool.
That'd be smart.
Good luck.
No, but I mean,
when you
take that, that's smart because, you know, if there's one thing that we're learning as this podcast network grows and the more shows we divvy on and just being transparent with you and everyone else listening, like when it comes to financial stuff, I'm pretty stupid when it comes to that, man. So like understanding money and trying, it's a fearful thing to be pure-hearted in your pursuit of when it comes to stuff like this, but the fear of doing something wrong when it comes to like money, especially like taxes and stuff.
Yeah.
That is the most thing I'm most afraid of. So like when you understand how to manage your money and use and something that you learn in a financial course, it's very smart. It's intelligent of you to be taking that, especially going into a career where you're going to be trying to be a professional angler. That's big. Being able to understand that, because there's a lot of guys that go into it, they're like, I have no idea what I'm doing, and they need some help, where at least you'll have a much better understanding from a foundation wise going into that sort of thing.
Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully I'll learn something.
Yeah, we say this, right? But then again, I'm sitting here with a master's too, and I haven't used my college degree once since I left.
I think I used my college degree for like a year and a half, and then I quit my job and became a full-time guide. So I guess I'm still technically using it because, and it revolves around like a lot of real world, like life issues. But yeah, I think a lot of this stuff, I didn't need it truthfully, but it's always good to have it as well. Cause there's a lot of stuff that you can take away from an education. It's important to have.
I don't know, Andy. I'm thinking back. I mean, I got nothing.
Yeah. Got a lot of debt.
I learned how to pay my bills on time. I'll tell you what. there's a lot that could be taken out of it. And I say that more for jokes than anything else because I was a sport management student and thought I had this career in college sports. I mean, technically, obviously, you know, fishing could be that, but college sports and here I am now in the outdoor industry. Wouldn't change a thing. But one thing I'm kind of curious about with, you know, being on the road, you hear about these football players, whatever sport, when you're a student athlete, from a workload. And I'd argue you guys probably travel almost more than a lot of these other sports do, especially for a longer period of time from a tournament standpoint. And you're almost gone all day, especially practice days. How does that work being a student athlete? Do they call you guys student athletes? Student anglers was what we'll say.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they treat us as athletes at our school. So
good.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Me and Nick, we do both online and in person classes. We kind of do half and half just so it's easier to balance when we're on the road. But it's definitely tough. A lot of sleepless nights when we're on the road. You know, 4 hours of sleep is, you know, a norm for us when we're on the road, just, you know, dark to dark on the water and then sitting in bed doing homework till midnight, 1 a.m. A lot of times it's definitely a grind when we're on the road. You try to get as much time as you can.
Time to get the rods ready. Kind of short.
Time. Sleep's not really a thing when we're traveling. So,
dude, it's a grind, man. Yeah. I mean, in some cases, like, that's a more hectic schedule than guys in the opens or guys in the elites. I mean, we add in a college curriculum. I'm just going to say I would never want to go to college again because the college workload was so much, at least for my simple brain. That if you added on the schedule of tournament fishing, like when you're taking it seriously, that is, I mean, you save 4 hours of sleep. I'm surprised you guys get four.
It's
so that's lot. Probably giving you guys a little grace period there. Like, you guys,
yeah. Grinders, I mean, for example, we left at 4:30 this morning to come here, and one's driving, one's doing homework the whole way here. Like, no sleeping, just trying to get ahead of schedule so we can focus on fishing while we're here. So that's just a brief example of, it's just constant homework, fishing, not much for sleep mixed in.
So when you're driving back, you just, like, you know, if Nick doesn't catch him during a tournament, you make him do your homework while you're driving? What?
No, if he doesn't catch him, he's driving. I can do what I want.
So he drives a lot, is what you're driving. Saying.
What's that?
So he drives a lot, is what you're saying.
No, it goes both ways.
Yeah, we can just say Nick's a full-time driver. We'll poke some fun out of him. That's awesome, dude. I mean, I feel like those trips, though, as much as they grind, and how, like, I'm sure you guys, you know, hibernate for a day basically when you get back type of deal. I feel like, you know, especially as a team, these are the stuff you're going to remember forever.
So many memories we've made. It's crazy. It's such a blast. I don't want to graduate ever.
They say it, man. Your college years are the best years of your life. And while I wish I fished more in college, I will say they're some of the best years of life. That's 100% sure.
Man, 30s are pretty good, not going to lie.
Hey, pipe down over there, Grandpa. We're talking about college here.
You go to college when you're 30.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, dude, so you got tournament down there in Dardanelle. Where are you headed off to next?
So the weekend after this, we have a tournament at Demopolis, if you know where that is. It's kind
of, never heard of it.
Southwestern Alabama river fishery. No. We'll be taking Nick's little boat there, going to some backwaters. But the week after that, we go to Hartwell for an MLF tournament. And then after that, we finally have a little bit of a break. So
nice. Okay. So with that, obviously being in the South now and getting a decent amount of time, several years down there, and being from Minnesota, like, obviously being well-versed in different situations, different fishery styles and how they set up. What would you still say at heart, though, you as an angler, like, who are you? If someone were to ask you, like, your confidence, where is home for you when it comes to a fishery, like big water, rivers, et cetera?
I'm most confident in big water, Great Lakes type fishing, you know, super finesse style. That's still where my heart's at. Everything I've learned in the South, that's still what gets me most excited. So that super, super finesse style type fishing.
My man. All right. So when you're at home then, like, what is it? That was what? Mille Lacs or maybe Huron is probably closest to you?
Yeah, Mille Lacs, Leech, which is on the schedule this year for the Opens. I'm 50 minutes from Leech. I've spent a lot of time out there.
So you're not excited at all for that tournament?
No, not at all. No, it'll be fun.
That's awesome. But,
yeah, we go to Sturgeon Bay every year. That's always a fun one. That's kind of where I learned Great Lake style fishing. Been to Saginaw Bay for a couple times for college bass, and we're going back there this summer. So,
heck yeah,
that's definitely where my heart's at.
Heck yeah. Well, Andy, you got anything left for Easton before we hit our last question?
Yeah, it's funny. No, I just wanted to comment real fast as, like, a guide on the Great Lakes. You know, I love smallmouth fishing. I love finesse fishing, but there's just something about getting away from that that's just a lot of fun to me. So I don't understand how people call finesse fishing fun since I do it every day.
Oh, get out of here, bro. Since this guy, Easton, has become a full-time smallmouth guide, he's a full-time smallmouth hater.
I'm not a hater. I love
smallmouth. We could change that mindset. You just got to come to my school for a week and fish all day.
I probably hate myself. I'm going back.
You've taken Wes Logan out with you on Erie. Go down and fish Neely Henry with Wes Logan in November, and you'll change your mind.
You know, all I need is real quick spot to come, like, dolphin, a freaking swim jig, and I'll lose my mind. Like, I just love fishing. No matter what it is.
Bite in a day, you'll be singing.
I'll be happy.
Yeah, you'll Grinder, swim some grass Grinder's for 4 hours ride, for right, a bite.
Yeah, exactly what Easton said. You're sitting there mad because you're tossing back 2-pounders every other cast, and you'll just be happy to get a small bluegill to blow up on your swim jig.
Perfect. Let's go. I'm in.
Oh, my gosh.
Fishing's fishing, man. Well, I just want a big rod.
See, Easton, we got to get this guy out of New York State. He hasn't fished in the South yet. He doesn't understand. It's a real struggle down there.
I can use a spinning rod. All right. Like, if I have to, I'll use it.
You got, when you leave New York, it takes effort to catch fish, Andy. Is what I'm trying
to say. I know.
You enter New York, it's the land of the stupid fish.
It is. They are pretty. Same with
Minnesota.
Yeah. They are pretty dumb. But I mean, up north in Minnesota, New York, Wisconsin, Michigan, like, we're so blessed where we live because we have so many different types of bodies of water that allows us to adapt and be adverse for challenging conditions as well. Cause we do have bodies of water that are grinder events. We see it all. So we're able to adapt quickly a lot of times to those situations. So, I mean, when we got to go fish a tournament and it's 32 degrees out, guess who's ready to go? No one else is. Us Northerners. So, like, I understand everything. Like, being cold does not bother us. Grinding does not bother us. It's just trying to catch them. Sometimes that gets a little hard.
That's one thing me and Nick talk about all the time is we'd much rather go from north to the south rather than going from the south to the north. I feel like the culture shock would be even greater because just think about a Coosa River guy going to the Great Lakes, like, you'd be so lost, I'd feel like. So I think it's the learning curve is less just because, like you said, our bodies of water are so, we have so much to choose from where we're from rather than, you know, down south, it's just kind of grinder, dirty water for the most part.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things to do with clients that I get up from the south, as soon as I round and go out into the lake, I'm like, welcome to my ocean. And it just opens right up and you can see it in their eyes. They're like, what are we doing out here? Like, yeah, give me to a bank, flip some docks and some logs. Like, I'm like, no, we're going to 50 foot of water straight off the bat. Let's go.
Yeah. I love the, I take pride in the, when the, you're with some Southerners, you're born and raised Southerners and you go and there's like, it's like colder temps and they're all bundled up.
You got shorts and flip-flops on and a hoodie?
Yes, dude. So we had an X2 shoot down at Neely Henry, I think it was last fall. And I'm going to poke some fun at him because we just enjoy it simply. Wes Logan, he was with us, and he's all bundled up in full, like, full AFCO suit and everything, like, bundled up with a winter hat, gloves. I'm sitting there in flip-flops. I have, like, Columbia sun pants on and a hoodie. Like, just a hoodie, and it's like a hat. He's got a full winter hat.
Was it like 51 degrees out?
Dude, I think it was maybe low 50s, maybe high 40s at the very least. Oh, and I'm just sitting there like, this feels amazing. There's no wind or nothing. And he's like, he's prepping like it was the tundra.
He was probably like, son.
he chewed me out a little bit. When I went to go get in his truck to back his boat down, he was making fun of me. He's like, flip-flops, dude, are you kidding me? I wouldn't even try to do his accent, but
listen, I wear flip-flops until there's like 6 inches of snow on the ground, all right? Like, yeah. We're in it.
I think it was Garrett Paquette that like tried to see how long he could go wearing flip-flops on his boat in Michigan. It was actually pretty impressive. But yeah, see what I mean by tangent? Yeah, tangents. So Easton Sean was there. Sean knows. Yeah. We were poking fun at Wes. Easton, our last question for you for tonight. And Andy, I'm happy because we haven't been able to ask this in a long time.
Oh, it's been so long.
If you could invite three different individuals, they don't have to be fishing industry. They could be sports. They could be historical. It doesn't matter. They could be alive today or they're alive 1,000 years ago. It doesn't matter. Anybody. Three different people. Are you 21 yet?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you can have a beer. Have a steak and a beer with, who are you going to invite?
Oh, boy.
You know, Andy, now that I have the soundboard, I should totally cue up Jeopardy music for these. So yeah.
Time it. Yeah. Everyone is timed. And after one, two, and three, like, you should speed up the timer just a little bit.
Yeah.
Pressure's on.
Today, June. No, you're good. What's your first one, man?
I'm going to say Jarrett Swindle.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Just some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, I want to know where it comes from.
I don't know if you want to know.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's a good one as well.
Hmm.
I feel like Gerald Swindle should be number at least in the bucket for, like, if we're going to do an only fishing one, if you want to learn from somebody or just kind of like be the fly on the wall and listen to their the wisdom they have, that's a great one.
You mentioned sports. I guess another one would be Coach Prime for me.
Okay. Are you on? Did you buy the Prime shades? Were you one of
No, I did not do that. No. But just what he did with that team is pretty incredible to me. And just some of his takes on stuff is super cool to me. So it'd be fun to sit down and talk with him.
Heck yeah. I get that.
Third
one. Yeah, on that coach, why are you thinking of the third one? That Coach Prime thing. I heard there's been some people that I've had multiple conversations about this already because I'm a sports nut. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, like, I love it, but I can't handle the cockiness or whatever. And, you know, I've never been a fan of arrogance in my entire life.
I don't think he truly is arrogant.
Like, well, I mean, it comes off to the public as that. But I think if there's one person that could be arrogant and justifiable, it would be Coach Prime. Like, at least the guy, when he's cocky, he backs it up. Like,
and he came from absolute nothing.
Yeah.
Like, absolute nothing. It just proves that you can do whatever you put your mind to. And I mean, I have no issue with the way he is, because at the end of the day, he's helping people grow and aspire to be bigger things than they think they can be and believe.
Except for the Colorado team that he completely cut as he came in.
Yeah, he crushed their souls. But I mean, it's the transfer portal. They can go wherever they want now in NCAA. So it's not they're out of a place to play football. So
yeah. I'm sure you guys saw it. I saw a thing where there was a thing talking about why he wouldn't go to the NFL is because he doesn't feel like he can motivate the players that are already making millions. He wants to bring players up to that point. And yeah. I really liked what he said about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I think my only thing is Shador needs to stop with the whole watch flex. It was cool once, bro.
Yeah, it was a little too much at this point. But.
Yeah, now let the scores flex for you. Yeah, but yeah, no, I love that.
Yeah, I don't think you should be flexing when you beat 1-4 team 27-24. So,
man, that I will say. I mean, it's only year one though. It's going to be impressive to see when they get a couple more years, you know, of recruiting and people seeing what Prime brings to the building.
And that's the thing. He's such I can't think of the term I'm looking for at the moment, but he does. I feel like he's the type of person that doesn't need to recruit, right? Like, people will just come to him and be like, I want to play for you because it's Deion Sanders.
Especially after this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure he recruits though, man.
I'm sure he probably just slips in an email somewhere to someone and they're like, yep, I'm going to go there.
I mean, look what he's done for the school though, too. I mean, that's just not the total sidebar of this, Easton, but like, look at the star power he brought to Colorado. I mean, there's reason tickets are over $400 for a home game now. I mean, when The Rock comes to your stadium, I mean,
you're doing something.
Yeah, everyone wants to be there, whether you like football or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what are they calling it? The Prime Effect or something like that?
Yeah.
Pretty wild. But yeah. Yeah. What's, do you have a third one? Someone you can think of?
I can't think of one, man.
We'll throw Nick in there because we feel bad for him.
All right, yeah, we'll
give him something to do.
Yeah. Nick, this camera recording this, Nick. He's a tag along, buddy.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, dude, it's been awesome to get you on here, kind of dig into your brain, if you will, and learn about you as an angler and going through the college ranks. And obviously, we'll be pulling for you. Well, hopefully, we'll catch up with you at the Classic this coming year. But, man, it's been good, and hopefully it's – we can get you on here and coming up again soon.
Cool. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Kick some butt in the tournament, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Sounds good. Thank you.
See ya. Dude, it is – I don't know about you, but it is super cool to me when you see some of these names that come through the college ranks or come through the local level and become these big names where it's like – you know, we always talk about it like, man, if they just, you know, they took the jump, they could, you know, they could be right there with some of the biggest names in the sport right now. And obviously that's one of them. But, you know, we've seen it happen a couple times, right? I mean, we watched it happen with Cal Patrick. We watched the local guy, Casey Smith, go to the Classic. You see some of these college kids, man, it's pretty impressive to see where these kids can go.
Agreed.
Yeah, excuse me while I was coughing there. But yeah, no, it's I love getting these kids on that. Not many people may know their name, but are people's are names that need to be known. So hopefully we can keep doing this, you know, getting some more college anglers here on the show. I know we're supposed to be having Logan Parks on the show here soon, talking about his tournament for college / high school anglers. It's going to be a pretty cool deal. So we'll be bringing that to you guys here soon. But nonetheless, always good to break open to somebody new on the show. We've been kind of on a tangent, getting some people on the show that have been, you know, frequent. So it's nice to get Easton on, learn more about him, and obviously go through with the new X2 Power Battery website, Andy.
Yeah, I'm really excited to go on there and look around.
Yeah, it's cool. Your face is on there, Andy. Are you excited? Yeah.
No, that's scary. I want to
break. We should pull it up. I want to pull it up now.
No, I'm going to break the internet, man. Like,
is that Zach Galifianakis?
Hey, some of the pictures, sometimes, like, that's how I should show up to your wedding, right? Like, just dress like Zach Galifianakis, fanny pack, big beard, don't cut my hair. Yeah.
I think you're under next gen.
Yeah,
here he is.
There's
Big Andy Full.
all we're missing is the long hair, because I think I got a haircut right before that photo.
Let's see what we got.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that big bearded bastard.
Oh, yeah.
We got some nice pictures. Look at that candid shot. Who took that of you?
Oh, man? Yeah. Oh, that was at that little reservoir we had. Uh-huh. We had a lot of fun that weekend.
We did. Oh, this little candid shot. That should be your profile picture, bro. I don't know
what you're doing. Yeah. It was there for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty sick website, and kind of seeing, you know, what this X2 Power team has grown to is, it's pretty sweet, dude. It's cool to see what it's done, and, you know, shout out to our boys. You know, the Harris Chain Bassmaster Open this coming weekend. JT Tompkins and John Garrett, X2 Power dudes, sitting 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So about to, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're numerically, like, they're statistically already qualified, basically. I think they would need to be dead last to even have a shot at not making it or something like that. I'm not good with numbers, as you guys already know. But either way, super cool to see all this jazz on the X2 Power site. You know, seeing our tournament partnerships, some leading industry voices, things that they're getting involved with, that is really good for the X2 Power brand, but also good for the sport in general. So super cool. And I will say one last thing for folks online, or folks that are you know, listening to the end of the show, coming up, or actually right now until the 17th, so you have another week, 25% off all Ichikawa hard baits on Omnia Fishing. I definitely did not place an order today. Definitely will not have some showing up the doorstep. Don't tell the fiance. But nonetheless,
Are they like the Rick Klun crankbaits?
Yes.
I have some of those. I've yet to throw them.
Andy is ordering more as we speak.
I am not. I'm just looking. I have some in my box. I've honestly yet to throw them, and I've heard good things about them.
Well, for folks with that whole X2 Power updated website, make sure you guys are still using our discount code, because you can save money on lithium and AGM batteries for that. Save you guys some money, because, of course, when it comes to premium batteries, it is not a cheap thing. We're not going to sit here and tell you that they're insanely affordable or anything like that, but we are trying to utilize that as a way for it to become more affordable, and there's a reason why you spend more money for premium batteries than you do with the Walmart lead battery, because they last a hell of a lot longer and will save you trips from, you know, batteries that don't show up and don't work. So make sure you guys take advantage of that. And we got some cool episodes coming up. We are back to consistency here. I don't have any travel plans for this foreseeable future. We are going to try to grind out an episode for next week. I don't know. It's up in the air if we're going to be live next Tuesday. We will have two episodes next week, but we should be Tuesday night live. We'll have to I just have to make sure there's no wedding plans, because your boy is getting hitched next weekend. Just got to make sure we're good to go for live for next week and the week after that. You guys will probably see some photos, if you guys are following Andy and or I on social media next week, of us, you know, very, very rarely us all spiffied up and in a suit.
It's going to be scary.
It is scary, but it's going to be fun. But nonetheless, folks, we appreciate you guys. If you're listening on MP3, please leave us a rating and review. If you're watching on YouTube and you haven't already, please subscribe to the Serious Angler YouTube channel. Share this with your friends. Let's keep blowing up Serious Angler and teaching more people how to fish, teaching them about bass fishing, that sort of thing. And you guys are awesome. So we'll see you on the next one.
Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Serious Angler fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all on the next one.